thank your friends at Southwest Iowa Tire and Service for bringing you this market report here on Country Sunshine Radio. Southwest Iowa Tire and Service, your certified Firestone farm tire dealer. Fast in the Field Farm Tire Service, located at the corner of Highways 34 and 48 in Red Oak. Phone 712-623-5444.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth, and we have with us this morning Dan Miller. Dan, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How was your weekend?
It was a great weekend. You know, the weather was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Got some rain, you know, but hey, we'll take some rain, you know.
Need some rain.
And we do. And I don't know, I think we had like a half an inch or something there, yeah. You know, again, on top of, we did, and we avoided the severe weather.
Boy,
at least.
They had, last night, they had a lot of rain down through portions of Missouri.
Mm.
Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And some severe weather. What was that, Saturday night, wasn't it?
Friday night.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Sloan when they said it was going through Farragut, and I was like.
Oh, yeah. There she is. And yeah, and Denise Miller and Sloan Killian with
this. Sloan Killian, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So how was your weekend, Denise?
It's busy. We were busy.
Busy, busy.
Busy, busy. My parents were here, so there was a lot of things that we had to do. How's that sound? There were a lot of things we had to do. So anyway.
Yes, I get it. So, okay. So this is an interesting one today.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is not an exit strategy. Okay, so Dan, what are we talking about here?
Well, today, Aaron, we wanted to talk about, you know, a big part of building rural wealth is looking at, you know, especially for business owners, are you actually ready to retire? Is your business actually ready to be your retirement plan? You know, because we talk to a lot of people say things like, you know, I'm going to sell my business someday. You know, and one of the things, you know, I am a certified exit planning advisor. Actually, Denise and I just got back from a exit planning summit. And, you know, one of the things that we learn a lot in the exit planning profession and in that teaching is, unfortunately, there's not a buyer for every business out there. Now, you would think there would be, you know, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of people that assume that they're going to sell their business someday and there's no buyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the rural areas, you know, that is unfortunately even intensified a little bit. You know, it makes it even harder. Sometimes people have maybe a younger associate that they want to sell to. You know, I mean, that's one thing. Denise and I, you know, we have some young people in our firm that's important, you know, for the future.
Mm-hmm.
However, whatever direction, you know, things go. And then, of course, farm families often say that, you know, their land's their retirement and that, you know, they're going to have a child or someone take over the farm, and hopefully that all comes to fruition, you know. But the one thing here, assumption is not a strategy. I guess that's the that's the point we kind of want to get across. You know, your business is probably, if you're a business owner, I've read the statistics, it's like 70-80% of business owners, their business is by far their largest single asset.
Yeah.
And it is by far the largest part of their retirement plan. And so, you know, having these assumptions are great, but you need a plan. You've got to put some of this into action. And revenue does not automatically equal retirement income. You know, equity does not equal spendable cash. And hope is not the same thing as an exit plan. So today we wanted to talk about how to structure your retirement or exit plan when your business is at the center of that plan, which for a lot of business owners, that is exactly the case.
Yeah. And this is not easy either, Dan. This is pretty tough stuff. So we have to start with what it's worth, Denise. Well, let's start right there. What about that?
A I think that's probably, you know, the hardest thing is that what is your business valued at? What is it worth? And this isn't a direct certainty because there are a lot of principles in determining a business worth. And some of those things are profitability matters more than revenue. You know, people think, oh, well, you know, we make X, we have this much coming in. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the business is worth what you think it is. Consistency matters. Transferability matters. Owner dependence reduces the value. For instance, if there's just one guy, you know, everybody's got a guy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if that business is based solely on one guy, that's going to determine, you know, whether or not the value is good on that business or not, because a business can't operate without that guy.
Sure.
Yeah, one of the things I'm going to jump in here, you know, one time I heard people say, you know, I don't, you know, business owner or people that are looking to buy a business, they want to buy your business, not your job.
Yeah.
You know, and if the whole business is dependent upon one person, that's just a I mean, it's a good job. It might be a great job.
Right.
You know, so I'm not putting down any single owner businesses. Don't misunderstand me. But just know that the transferability of that, when it's all dependent upon that one owner, that one person, what would somebody be buying if you're not going with it?
Right.
You know, so that's something to think about.
Good point.
And the market considerations, you know, especially in rural areas, the buyer pool can be a little smaller than if you're in a more populated area than what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Industry, I can't say that word this morning, industry trends matter, you know, and you're starting to see some of this, you know, with, and I think it's funny that people say, oh, AI is going to take over the world, you know, we won't have to have that business. Well, I beg to differ. I don't think AI is going to fix your plumbing. I don't think AI is going to do your yard mowing. I just think there's a lot of jobs out there that AI is not going to take over. Interest rate environments matter. You know, if you go to sell this business and somebody has to finance that business, you know, it's the interest rates are going to make a huge difference on that as well.
You bet.
And local demographics really matter. According to the U.S. Small Business Administration, small businesses transfers often fail due to lack of planning and valuation misalignment. And that's kind of one of the things that they talk about at the Certified Exit Planning Summit that we were at, is that, you know, and books that we've read too, you think your baby, which is your business, and I refer to this book because it's an excellent book. I felt like when I read it, it was very relatable, and it's called Your Baby's Ugly. And it's by Justin Goodbread. And it talks about small businesses and how you think that your small business is your life. Mm-hmm. Your baby.
It's a beautiful baby to you.
It's a beautiful baby to you. But when somebody else starts, you open the door and you start saying, I want to sell this, you know, you learn pretty quick that your baby might not be so beautiful. Your baby might be ugly.
I have a dirty diaper on.
You know, and the Exit Planning Institute also reported that a large percentage of business owners who plan to exit in the next 10 years have no formal plan. They have no idea what they're going to do. And let's be clear, we're not saying that your business won't sell. We're just saying you should know what it would sell for if you sold it today.
Okay.
Aaron, I might inject, you know, on that question was talking about business valuation. One of the things that, you know, we do have a service in our business that we do business valuations. Now, they're not certified valuations.
Right.
They are AI-generated business valuations, but I will tell you they are a great starting point for the conversation for people. And then oftentimes, you know, we might suggest to people that they do get a certified valuation, but we do have a service, and it's pretty inexpensive, that people can do a business valuation, and it's relatively simple as well, to get a good starting point. So I want to throw that out there, that is a service that we do offer right in our firm.
Yeah.
that a lot of people might not be aware of.
And you found it to be very accurate as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, I've done it on several different businesses, and then businesses that have gone ahead and did a certified valuation,
it's pretty close.
So it's a great starting point for people. It's a tool. Exactly right.
Very cool. All right, so Dan, talk to me about sell price versus spendable income. What are you looking at there?
Well, you know, there's, as Denise mentioned, you know, there's a lot of different ways to sell a business. You know, there's lots of ways to sell a business, and it depends on the type of business you have and all those things. So, you know, when you sell a business, the question becomes, how are you going to do it? Are you going to sell it in a lump sum to a third party? Will there be an earnout if you sell it to a third party, meaning you're going to have to stay and part of the sales price is going to be dependent upon, you know, your transferability of that business, and you're going to have to earn part of that. In other words, it's an earnout. Will there be seller financing? Are you going to have to finance the sale for the buyer or a portion of it, which is pretty common depending on the type of business? Installment payments, again, maybe somebody's going to pay you out over 3 or 4 years, 5 years, that kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of sales, actually, the majority of them are probably structured in some manner where there's usually not just one large check and the seller walks away.
Right.
And then, of course, there's things like taxes to consider. That's a great part of it. Capital gains implications, depreciation recapture. If you've got a lot of heavy equipment, especially with businesses that utilize a lot of equipment like construction or farms, state versus federal tax considerations, you know, all these things, you know, and for example, some businesses, if they sell a customer list or something like that, you know, is that going to get classified as goodwill versus something else, which some of it may be, classified as capital gains versus real income, you know. And again, I'm not giving any tax advice here. Please don't misunderstand that. But these are the things that you need to visit with your tax person about to make sure. And also remember that the sale price is not the same thing as the net proceeds. You know, so if someone thinks I'm going to sell for $3 million and retire right off in the sunset, that may not be the number that lands in their checking account because, again, for all these other things that we think that were talked about. And another one here that I haven't mentioned yet are also just closing costs. You know, whenever businesses sell, there's closing costs like attorney fees.
Yeah.
If you're working in the M&A, the merger and acquisitions market, you may have an advisor on that side, depending on the size of your business. So there's lots of things to consider. And that's the reason why, again, I go back to you need a plan. You need a plan that considers all this.
Right.
So also, you know, is it a diversified, you know, once you've invested the money, well, let's say the sale's made.
Yep.
Okay. You know, then what? Have you diversified your investments correctly? Have you, you know, invested them properly? And are they going to generate enough income for you to fill that income gap between what you had and what was being produced by your business? So a lot of things that go into this. And, you know, part of the reason that I became a certified exit planning advisor was because I see this gap and I see this need out here with our small businesses, especially out here in the rural areas.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of people coming out and working with rural businesses. And, you know, Denise and I and Caleb, we talked about it and we're like, you know what? We are a rural business.
Yeah.
Why would we not try to help other rural businesses like us? Because we're all kind of same. We're in the same boat, so to speak.
And you understand it.
Absolutely.
You've been in the
absolutely.
Been it for a long time, so
there's just a lot of things to prepare for.
Okay, so Denise, one asset risk. Tell me what are we talking about there?
Well, many rural business owners have a high percentage of their net worth in one asset. It could be land, it can be a construction company, it could be a medical or dental practice, and that's not uncommon, but it can be risky. And again, the risk factors are industry disruption, commodity volatility, especially in agriculture, and regulatory shifts, health events, key employee departures. And if your entire retirement hinges on one valuation event, you run the risk of a single point of failure. Oh. And, you know, those are huge things. Everything's good till it, I always say this with Medicare, everything's good until the wheel falls off, you know.
Right.
Because the wheel is going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your health can go to you know.
What is it? Mike Tyson said, everybody's good till they get punched in the face. Everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face. Well, you don't want your, you don't want a punch in the face with your business.
That's right. That's that key. That's that guy. The key employee.
That your key employee.
That's that guy.
That's that guy. Yeah. You know, and so you have to be careful. You have to be thinking ahead. You need to be looking at the structure, you know, and you need to be planning.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm going to tell you, you know, again, I'm a Denise and I are small business owners. We know that's hard because everybody gets wrapped up in the day to day of their business.
Yes.
You know, but
oh,
I tell
so
you,
easy.
Every business owner has got to take time to work on their business and not in their business. And part of that working on your business is planning for the future.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. With that, with the discussion that we've had, then an exit plan. You need to have an exit plan. So what does that look like, Dan?
Well, you know, Aaron, you need to have an exit plan because actually exit planning is good business planning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe, you know, you want to prepare your business in a manner that you're ready to exit at any time on your terms. Okay? In other words, you need, you know, so exit planning, you know, so what I'm saying here is even if you're not 1 to 5 to whatever years from exiting, if you're 10 years out, you need to be thinking about your exit a little bit and preparing your business ahead of time. And because, again, like I said, I believe exit planning is just good business planning.
Yeah.
You know, so you need, again, like Denise mentioned a while ago, you need to know what your business valuation range is. You need to understand the net after-tax proceeds that if you were to make a change. It's great, of course, to have diversified assets outside of your business. Have a written succession strategy or a plan or what, you know, what are you going to do? What are you, you know, do you have a team in place?
Right.
What's going to happen there? And again, just like Denise said, you don't want your retirement to depend solely on a perfect sale process.
Right.
You know, so you need to be planning. And so what are some of the steps you should be taking? Again, regular valuation considerations. You know, I'll just share with you, that's something that we do in our business about every other year. Is have a complete business valuation.
Yeah.
And on the years in between, I do it myself
yeah.
using their formulas. Maximize your retirement vehicles. In other words, those assets that you have outside of your business, fully fund those the best you can. Coordinate your tax estate and investment planning with the correct professionals. Again, when it does come time to exit, it's not going to just be you and your CPA probably. I mean, it could be. It could be. It depends on the size of your business.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to probably want some additional help, okay? And I will tell you, the worst situations I've seen is whenever somebody just tried to wing it.
Yeah.
Just tried to do it themselves. Because that's when money gets left on the table and there's misunderstandings. And when due diligence is done or a letter of acceptance was taken, they don't know how to understand it. And maybe they have an attorney. They took it to an attorney that's not familiar with exit planning. So, again, having that right team of professionals is so important. And, again, the stress test, the plan, like Denise said, you know, what if it does sell for 20% less than you think it's going to? So, you know, for example, you know, you need to be looking ahead and say, okay, what if, you know, we want to retire and or we want to sell or transition out of our business in 5 years and it sells for 20% less than what I've got projected at that time, what does that do to our retirement plan?
Right.
You know, have some backup plans there in place, you know, because Aaron, I'm going to tell you, everybody leaves their business one way or another.
Exactly.
You're either, and you want to do it on your terms. You
yes.
don't want to do it horizontally.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do it vertically.
Yes.
You don't want them to haul you out. Okay.
That's
so
right.
You want to do it on your terms.
That is a great point. Absolutely. So wrap this up for me, Denise. Kind of bring it all together here for me.
Well, try to think about this. If your business never sold for what you were expecting, would your retirement still work? If the answer is no, that's not failure. That's a planning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Your business is an incredible asset. And it should complement your retirement strategy, not replace it. So remember to review your business valuation, evaluate your diversification, coordinate planning conversations, and work with the right people to get this accomplished. You know, there's CPAs, tax professionals, estate attorneys, financial advisors, certified exit planners, you know, mm-hmm. these are the people who can help you with those things. And, you know, if any of these resonated for you and your business, don't ever hesitate to give us a call. We're happy to visit about it. 712-623-5726. We're out there on Senate Avenue. You can't miss it.
Beautiful facility out there on Senate Avenue.
It's very nice.
So there you go.
Well, thank you. And Aaron, I have something I'm going to share with our audience a little bit here.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we practice what we preach right here. Now, I want to put it out here right now. Denise and I are not going anywhere.
We are not leaving.
All right. So I want to put that right out there. But I do want to share with the audience here a little bit. We do practice what we preach. We actually started, you know, preparing our business years ago. I mean, everybody knows that if you're familiar with our firm, we've got young talent in our firm.
Yes, you do.
That was by design.
Yeah.
You know, we brought in, you know, everybody knows also now if you work with our firm, how much responsibility Caleb has, especially, and Ashley and Marcus. Yeah. You know, they
who we're hoping gets to come home soon.
Yeah.
So.
Looking forward to that.
We miss him.
They do the majority. I mean, you know, they do a lot of the work out there, and that's by default. Another step that we took a few years ago is we changed our name. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, we're Milestone Financial Group. We're not Miller Financial Group, even though we get called that a lot. Yeah. But we are Milestone Financial Group, and that's by design because it's way more than just Denise and I.
Yes.
And that was part of our future succession. Again, we're not going anywhere now we just built a building. I'm not.
Just to be clear, this is not an announcement necessarily.
But, no, not at all.
But, you know, all these kinds of steps, and, you know, everybody might be familiar, we changed broker-dealers a few years ago. That was by design because we wanted to have a more user-friendly experience for our clients and for our staff. So all these steps were things that we've done over time. That with the light that knowing that, yes, Denise and I will someday transition our business to someone else, hopefully our staff. And, you know, so I guess I'm just saying this, sharing this, because we do practice what we preach. And this is the same kind of things that we can help look at a business and help you, you know, make some of those preparations for your future as well.
You bet. You practice what you preach. And again, you're a rural business owner, too.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Very good. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Everybody have a great week.
Make it hopefully, a great day. You bet.
Hopefully everybody will get back in the field here later on in the week, maybe.
I'm sure they will. Boy, they cover ground fast.
There you go.
That's for sure. Make it a great day. Nice to
see you.
All right,
thank you.
It's been Dan Miller and Denise Miller with us, Building Rural Wealth from Milestone Financial.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.